Welcome to the First Church Podcast, a weekly podcast of messages from the First Church of Christ in Altoona, Pennsylvania.
Well, welcome to you to week number one, actually week zero, if you want to count correctly. Next week will be week number one in our series on unbelief. I just have to tell you, I feel kind of like an expectant father. I felt like the same way I did about 30 years ago when our first child was born. And, you know, we knew that it was going to happen, and the anticipation of it happening was incredible. And then the actual event was better than you ever expected. And then you realize that children are just, a loud noisemaker on one end and no sense of responsibility on the other. That was all the young parents that laughed just now because they know what I'm talking about. But you know, we've been looking forward to this new series on Believe. Okay, and today is week zero. Next week will be week one, chapter one in your book. So if you haven't picked up your book yet, there's still books out there available for everyone. And next week we'll start into that. But today we're going to be dealing with some introductory kind of things about this subject matter. Has everybody got their bracelet? Okay, what's it say on it? I believe. Do you believe? I believe. It's a great conversation starter because I had somebody ask me just the other day, actually. They saw my bracelet and they read it and they said, you believe what? That's like a slow pitch to a preacher, okay? It was like, this is awesome. Dude, you don't know who you just asked that question to. No, you know what? I answered it very simply. I said, I believe that Jesus is the hope of the world. That was my response. And I do believe that. You know, do you have your key? I got my key here somewhere. There it is. Awesome, you didn't pick one of these up yet. You can. I want you to keep this key with you and your bracelet through this entire 30 weeks because we're going to be talking about how important this statement is that we believe. We believe what and why and how. And the key is just the whole symbol of the entire series because our faith in God is the key to everything in life. You know, if you believe that life is a gift from God and life is should be lived abundantly and joyfully, we're going to talk to you over the next 30 weeks about lots of different keys to that and experiencing that. So I give you a key. Now, you know, ladies, I saw somebody actually put it on a chain. You can put it on a chain and wear it that way. I saw my good friend Harry Houck. Where is he? There he is. I saw Harry putting his on his keychain this morning, and so he's got it on his keychain. You know, you can carry it in your pocket. Rich, you can use it to mark your ball on the green tomorrow, okay? You can use it a lot of different ways, but just use it as a reminder of all the things that we're going to be talking about and learning, all right? So let me jump right in here. You ever heard the story? I love this story. You ever heard the story that the guy went to the doctor and he told the doctor, he said, Doc, something's wrong with my wife. He said, she just can't hear very well anymore. Doctor said, I can give you a test that you can give her home to determine how bad your wife's hearing is. And he said, go home. And he said, stand about 50 feet away from her and ask her a question. And if she doesn't answer, you know, take a few steps toward her and ask her again. And then if she doesn't answer you, step, you know, and see how close you have to get to her before she actually hears what you're asking. He said, okay. So he went home. His wife was cooking. And he's about 50 feet away from her. And he said, honey, what's for supper? She didn't say anything. And he took several steps. And he said, honey, what's for supper? Still nothing. He got a little closer. Honey, what's for supper? She didn't answer him. Finally, he's right up behind her, okay? And he says really loud, said, honey, what's for supper? And she turned around and said, for the sixth time, lasagna. I just love that story, man. That is just awesome. That is... Now here, I know, you know, I've been pastor here for over 20 years now, and I need some new material, okay? So... If you can help me with that, please feel free to buy me a new joke book. Make sure that the copyright is after 2012, though, okay? Because I've used them all right? But here's the reason I told you that little story. Because that little joke gives us a really, really important lesson in life, and it's this. An awful lot of the time, we think our problems are about somebody else. Right? I mean, we think our issues in life is because of someone else, how they treat us, what they do to us, or whatever. Even spiritually, I've heard people say, you know what, I'm just not being fed. There's so much about life when we don't experience things the way that we think we should or the way that we know God wants us to. And a lot of times we turn that around and we make that about someone else. When in reality, our life in Christ should just be like Him. You see, the next 31 weeks, one week starting today, is all about us learning to think like Jesus. About us being able to take our belief and put it into practice. You know, that our belief becomes in something more than just a mental exercise, but a way that we live. So I ask you, and I'm going to ask you this question over and over and over again over the next 31 weeks, do you believe? Or maybe you need to ask yourself, do I believe? You remember the Truth Project a few years ago, a study that we did here at church, and one of the things that Dale Tackett said at the very beginning of that, he asked you to examine whether or not, he said it this way, do you believe the things that you believe are really real? In other words, is your faith in God, is it real or is it not? You know, another way to ask it is do I want the life that God wants for me? Because that's what faith is all about. Faith is all about just accepting the life that God wants for you. But I find that there's not very many people that experience life in the same way that God wants them to. We miss something. Like me yesterday morning, I came home. Arlene, bless her heart, she was still, I mean, it was early, but she was still laying down. I thought, I'm going to fix breakfast. So I went down to the kitchen, you know, and man, I whipped up some homemade biscuits that were frozen from Martin's, and I... You know, I made some hash browns in the skillet, and I, you know, Arlene loves my scrambled eggs, so I scrambled these eggs, and I put some fruit on a plate, and I cut, you know, and did all this, and I put it all together, and I took it upstairs, and made her a cup of tea, awoke her, breakfast in bed from your marvelous husband, right? You know? And we had this nice breakfast, and it was really good. And I went back downstairs, and I realized I forgot the bacon in the microwave. So me and the dog ate the bacon about 2 hours later. And I said to her, I said, you know, that breakfast was good. But man, it would have been so much better with that bacon on that biscuit with that fresh tomato out of the garden, right? See, I think that's the way we are in life. You know, we want the life that God wants for us, but we usually leave something out. We usually don't put one ingredient in that God says is really, really important. That's what this entire series is about. It's about your belief, your understanding, and whether or not your belief in God makes a difference in your life. Howard Hendricks, great Bible teacher, He says that 1 Peter chapter 1 has everything that you need to know to understand the life that God wants you to live. So in reading that, I thought, you know what, I'm going to take 1 Peter 1, this introductory Sunday to the story, and I want to go through 1 Peter 1, and I want to point out some things to you that I think are absolutely crucial to a believing life. Okay, and here's the thing. I didn't put these scriptures up on there. They're in your word. It's the entire chapter of 1 Peter chapter 1. And so if you have your Bible, turn there with me, and I want you to notice something. Let me read to you just a couple of verses here from the beginning. He says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, 1 Peter chapter 1, to God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God and God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkling by his blood, grace and peace be yours in abundance. You know what? When I read that phrase there, when he says about grace and peace be yours in abundance, I want that, don't you? I mean, don't you as a believer, as a Christian, don't you want grace and peace in abundance? I mean, when people talk about salvation, you know, they always talk about, you know, what do you need to be saved? What's essential for salvation? He says grace and a peace. Grace and peace should be yours in abundance. I want abundant grace. It's the only thing that'll give us salvation, right? I mean, we can't do anything to earn it. We can't do anything to deserve it. We just had to accept it as a personal gift from Jesus Christ, from God, through his son, Jesus Christ. That's his grace. Man, I want that in abundance, don't you? I want to know that in abundance. I want to feel that in abundance. I want to experience that in abundance. When people ask me what you need to do to know God, I just want to talk to them about the grace, the wonderful love, grace, and mercy of Jesus Christ. Peace. Man, don't you want that in abundance? I mean, have you read the news lately? I mean, have you turned on your computer lately? I mean, have you just looked and seen everything that's going on all around the world, Ferguson, Missouri, and in Iraq, and in Iran, and down in Mexico, and I'm going to show you some pictures here in just a few minutes about that. But it's just like, it just seems like that when the Bible talks about peace, peace that passes all understanding, peace that comes from God, it just doesn't seem very prevalent anymore. But yet as believers, he says here that we can have that kind of peace in abundance. Now, let me go on because we've got a long way to go here. Let me talk to you about the means. In other words, how you get that. How we get that is by tapping into the power of God. Matter of fact, look at verse number 3. He says, praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. Look at verse 5. Who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Who through faith are shielded by God's power. You see, a believing life is a life that understands that power, that can tap into that power. Now listen, if you're here this morning and you are not a believer, you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you don't have that power. I mean, with all humility, I just believe that. I need to tell you that. You don't have that power. You've got the offer of that power. You've got the hope of that power. But we don't get this power. Peter said on the day of Pentecost when he stood up and preached the sermon, people said, what must we do? He said, repent and be baptized, all of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's when you become a believer, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's when you get this power. So we can tap into that power. I mean, folks, listen, we have this wonderful thing called the Spirit of God that lives inside of us, that will encourage us to do what's right, will help to show us what is wrong. It will show us good choices and bad choices if we just simply tap into that. And as a believer, we have the opportunity to do just that. Now, if that's the means, then what's the goal of having that kind of power in your life? Look at this next passage of Scripture, verse 6. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come, look at this, so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him, and even though you have not And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. You see, folks, the real kick here is to move from thinking to being. Now, let me explain to you what I mean by that. There's a lot of you here, there's some of us here this morning, hopefully not a lot of us, but there's some of us here this morning that all Christianity is to you is the way to think. There's some of us here this morning that spirituality to us is just a mental exercise. You know, it's living by the golden rule and thing, and that's all good. But as real believers, you've got to move from just thinking to being. You got to move from knowing to becoming. Knowledge must move to become virtue. He talks there about having these things in increasing measure. You know, it's one thing to know something, but man, it's something so much better to be something. And you see, that's one of the big things that the world has against us as Christians. Because we can spout off what we think they should know or what we think they should understand, when in reality they're turning it back and saying, well, what are you? In other words, our being, spiritual, holy, accomplishes a whole lot more than our words ever can. So think about this, folks. Grace and peace can be ours in abundance if we tap into the power. That power that's not just around us, but the power that is in us because we are His. That we move from thinking to being. We move from knowledge to virtue. We have this in increasing measure in our lives. And then notice here, he tells us the method by which we achieve this. Let me read you another passage of scripture, verse 12. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves but you when they spoke of the things that now have been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look on these things. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. You know what, folks? He's saying over and over and over again here that the method that we use to get to this place is repetition, repetition, repetition. You've heard that, the thing about real estate is location, location, location. You know, in order for you to become what God wants you to be, in order for you to believe in such a way that it makes a difference in how that you live, it's repetition, 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 over and over again. If you'll notice in your Believe book, you have a key thought and a key verse at the beginning of every chapter. And I'm going to challenge you to put that in your heart, in your mind, and in your soul, to memorize those verses. And to have that right there where God can bring that up. Because let's face it, you know, that's the way we become. We become by learning. We learn by repetition. And as we repeat and remain faithful, it becomes something deeply ingrained in us. Now let me give you an illustration and show you, kind of help you with what I'm thinking about. I don't know, how many of you here have been married a long, long time? Long, long, long time. Arlene and I, we've been married 32 years. I met a couple at a funeral a few weeks ago. They had been married 76 years. I said, you think it's going to work? She said, I think it's going to work. Okay. Arlene, we married 32 years. I remember back before we got married, okay? I mean, I'm thinking about marriage and what I'm wanting marriage to be. And you know what? We have a good marriage, but it's nothing like what I thought I wanted it to be. You know why? Because as you learn what it really means to be a husband, what it really learns to mean means to be a wife, and what sacrifice really means, and putting the other first, and honoring someone, and the virtue of love and affection, everything that some hormonal 19-year-old young man, it changes big time. And it's better. And I would hope, no, please don't take me up on this, but I would hope if somebody asked Arlene, if they would say, you know what, is John a better husband today than he was 32 years ago? Please, God, let her say yes. But I hope so. Because, wow, I think that that's exactly what a lot of Christians, we settle for. We don't settle for maturity and growth and virtue and holiness. We settle for what something's always been. And God offers something so much better. But it's simply because we lose our focus. We lose our pride and our joy in this wonderful thing that God has given us. And Peter says that we need to let, like you've been told, like's been preached to you, prepare your minds and share this with others. And just the repetition of that faith is a wonderful, wonderful thing. And then finally, let me put this last thing up here before we go to something else. But he gives us the source of this. And if you read the rest of this chapter, okay, in verse 17 down through the end of this chapter, you're gonna run across something in verse number 23 where it says, through the living and enduring word of God. In other words, that is the source. The source of our faith is this living, breathing Word of God that wants to get inside of us and change us from the inside out, if we allow it, if we truly believe. If our belief is something more than just something in our mind, but it's something that has captured our heart. You know, I never thought that I would ever live in a time, in a country, in a time, in a world. I mean, when I was a kid, I remember reading and hearing about Christians being persecuted. And I'm thinking, you know what? I am so glad I live in a country where that doesn't happen. Times are changing, though, aren't they? And I'm telling you this because I want you to know that these next 30 weeks are more than a mental exercise, because when we say, I believe in God the Father, I believe in Jesus Christ, I believe in the Holy Spirit, I believe that Jesus died on a cross, was buried in a borrowed tomb, rose on the third day, ascended to the Father some days later, and promised that He's going to come back to take us to be with Him. I believe that. But do you really? Is it something that's in our mind, or is it something that's really captured our heart? Have you ever heard of Pastor Saeed? He's a young man in Iran. I have a picture of him here. This is a picture of him, his wife, and his two beautiful children. He's been imprisoned in a prison in Iran since 2012. He's had a death sentence placed on him since that time. And there's been a number of times that they thought that he was actually going to be killed, but praise God, to this point, he's still alive. You know what his crime is? His crime is that he was raised as a Muslim, and he converted to Christianity, and he became a Christian pastor. That's his crime. I mean, there's people like this young man who when they say they believe, they mean it. This other guy here, this is Andrew White. I don't know if you can read that. That's a book he wrote. But he's called the Vicar of Baghdad. Okay? He's an Anglican priest who ministers at a church in Baghdad. And you can look him up on the internet. There's all kinds of stories about things that he's gone through and the ways that he's been persecuted. They bombed his church a couple of years ago and killed a number of people. I mean, they were just simply worshiping God, and they bombed this man's church and killed a number of people. You know why? Because they were worshiping Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I got a letter just this past week from our missionary friends, Ken and Anita Hoke, who serve in Burkina Faso. Ken and Anita and their little daughter Natalie were here with us just a few months ago. They've actually had another child, and mentions it's their Lydia, but she's not in the picture. But I got this note on the email. Maybe you did too if you're one of their prayer partners. But Ken sent me this note, and it said, please continue to pray for two young men in Kawara, Basilia and Maidu, I believe that they are nearing the decision point of following Jesus in a community where they may meet with some resistance from leaders and family heads until the Jula, that's the people that he works with, until the Jula bow to Jesus. Do you remember what he told us about the Jula? The Jula were 100% Muslim. Burkina Faso, he and his wife and family are living in this 100% Muslim community in Burkina Faso. And these two young men may very well be the very first converts to Jesus Christ and to Christianity. And he's saying, pray for these young men. Why? Because when they accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, there will be opposition, maybe even persecution, because of this decision. You know what, folks? When I read about these people and others all around the world that are being martyred and persecuted for their faith, I feel guilty for what we have here. But my hope is that over the next 30 weeks that you and I embrace our faith in such a way that it's not just words we speak, it's not just things that we believe, but it's things that change our life. And if the day ever comes when we are asked, believe what? That we can unashamedly say that I believe that Jesus Christ is the hope of the world, because he is. So I ask you, and I will ask you over and over and over again, do you believe? Does what you believe make any difference when you leave this place today? Because if it does, praise God. And if it doesn't, why? Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I give you this moment in time. Father, I recognize that you have done so much for us. And that, Lord, I think about the people like the Apostle Peter, who in the Garden of Gethsemane actually picked up a sword and struck a man because of his opposition to you. But yet, over the next little bit of time, he denied to a young girl that he knew you. He denied to others that he was a part of your group. And then he was convicted, Lord, when that cock crowed and he remembered the words of Jesus, it says. Father, we don't want to get to that day when we look back with fear and trembling because we didn't believe as you've called us to. But Lord, we want to mark a moment in time, a line in the sand, even today, that says not only do I believe in my mind, but I believe in my heart and in my spirit that the words of Jesus are not just going to make a difference on a test that we take, but it's going to make a difference in the life that we live. And that, Lord, others are going to experience the life of Christ because of the life we live. I pray, Lord, for every person in this room this morning that we would have the faith, strength, the power within us to not only say that we believe, but allow those beliefs to impact who we are each and every day. Father, may that happen all around this room this morning as we sing these wonderful words, and may they impact our lives in such a way that we're changed by your Spirit from the inside out. And God, I pray that if there's any here today that have not put their belief in you, that have not by faith experienced your grace and abundance of grace and joy, God, give them the faith and the willingness to do that. Just right where they are, Lord, to reach out to you. And I pray, Father, that as we sing these words, that they would come up as a sweet aroma, Lord, to your ears in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the First Church Podcast. We hope you enjoyed the message for today. Be sure to check back next week or subscribe to the podcast by visiting our website at firstforchrist.com. That's first, the number four, christ.com.